Good morning. Happy Easter. Jesus is alive and he is risen. Welcome to our church service, particularly the message here. I am Pastor Joe Brazino, minister at Locust Grove Church, and coming at you through the means of technology in this great means of technology that we have, video recording. And so this morning we're going to look at a great message. How could there be any greater message than the message that Jesus is alive and well? And he sits at the right hand of the Father. He is praying for you. He is praying for me. He is on your side. He is on my side. I can go on, and I get so excited because this kind of stuff gives me goosebumps to know that I serve and you serve a risen Savior. Can I get a witness in the house, in your house? Amen. All right. Open your Bibles with me to John chapter 20, please. If you have your Bibles with you, handy, John chapter 20. We're going to look at the original first Easter, and you're going to see some similarities to what happened then to what's happening to us today in 2020 of Easter as we worship the Lord from our homes. You know, since I've been following Jesus Christ almost 40 years, okay, almost 40 years. Just I've been, this year marked 38, two more marks 40. It's just, wow, incredible journey. But this is the first time that I've celebrated Easter from my house or here from an empty sanctuary. And I'm sure you're there in your house. But, you know, it's Easter is not about a location. Easter is a celebration. Amen. It's not about being bodily present in a sanctuary at a church. It is being spiritually present with a celebration that Jesus is alive and his spirit lives in you and his spirit lives in me. I need to quit that because I can go on for another 20 minutes doing that. So if we're here in John chapter 20, I would like for us, we're going to read somewhat of a lengthy text here, but just follow with me if you would please, and I'd encourage you to get your Bibles, open them up, John chapter 20. I'm reading out of the New King James Version as usual. So we're going to jump into verse 11. But Mary stood outside by the tomb weeping, and as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting, one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. Then they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "Because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." Now when she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, and she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" She, supposing him to be the gardener, said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him, "Rabboni," which is to say, "teacher." Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father and to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things to her. Verse 19, then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." Now when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Then Jesus said to them again, "Peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and he said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Okay. Now, if you'll see here with me, the disciples were behind locked doors, all right? When Mary saw him, she ran, told the disciples that he is alive. Can you imagine the shock? Can you imagine the pleasant news, the surprise wow, what rays of hope must have shone through their souls and pierced through all the guilt and all the unfinished business and all the lack of closure they might have had with the Lord. You know, everything happened so fast. He was arrested. He was tried in a kangaroo court and subsequently crucified. Suffered many things at the hands of the Gentiles, subsequently, and then, of course, crucified and died. And here they are, you know, day number three, the first day of the week. And Jesus appears to them that evening on the first day of the week, on Sunday. And he shows himself to them. You know, they were isolated. Did you know the early church disciples, the disciples, the 11, were isolated? They locked themselves up in the upper room for fear that those who arrested Jesus and apprehended him and you know, punished him and tortured him and murdered him would possibly come do the same to them. And so they had the doors barred, the windows were shut, they battened down the hatches and they latched the doors, you know, and they were in fear. Fear of what? Fear of external attack from the enemies of Christ. But I think also beyond that, and I want to draw attention to this because this is very, very critical to the message of Easter, that these disciples also were kind of locked up in their souls. They were locked up in the cells, in the dark, dank cells of their souls. As I mentioned, there was no closure with them. There was no goodbyes to Jesus. There was no, Lord, I love you. Lord, I'm sorry that I fled when the chips were down. There was none of that. I'm sure some of them wished there had been. Now, everything hangs in the balance. There is so much uncertainty piercing through their souls. Now that our main leader, the man we've grown to love, the man we've grown to follow, the man whose words spoke so beautifully to our souls and nourished us spiritually, now he's out of the picture. Now, what about my life? What about my family? How am I going to make ends meet? How am I going to support them? You know, I invested 3 years, 3.5 years of my life into this man and his ministry and his mission, and now he's gone. What do I do now with my life? And, you know, perhaps you're sitting there in the warm confines of your house. Thank God for that. But you're probably wondering, you know, with all the stuff going out externally, the COVID-19, all the pressures, all the news, and I would encourage you to please limit yourself how much you imbibe of that stuff. You know, one thing I've noticed in the national news and even in the local news, they're not reporting how many hundreds, yea, even thousands of people have recovered from it. You know, they're only reporting how many people have contracted it, have been infected by it, and how many more have died from it. You know why that is, church family? Because noise makes news. That's what gets people's attention. It's fear-mongering, and that's all it is, plain and simple. And I want to tell you, maybe you're sitting there with a lot of uncertainty, and you know, of course there's cause for concern. I believe in being concerned, but I don't believe in being frightened. I don't believe in being anxious. You know, the anxiety levels of many people is through the roof. I heard this past week that online counseling, phone services counseling, that has shot through the roof exponentially. That is, it is up 900% from before these last couple of weeks. 900%. You know why that is, church family? Is that people are not so much concerned about the virus. It's more about the fear that they're having to deal with in their souls. So it's not always what happens outside externally. It is what happens inside in our upper room of our souls. It is what happens inside of us, not necessarily what's happened outside of us. And you know, I love the news that Mary ran to tell the disciples, and she said, you know, I've seen the Lord. Can you imagine? I can imagine Peter, you know, there was a song many, many years ago, probably dates me back in the 70s, late 70s, by Don Francisco, and it is entitled, He is Alive. Wow, what a beautiful, you know, way he narrates through song the life of Peter in those fateful moments after he had denied Christ and after Jesus had died and was buried late in the tomb. Wow, what about all that unfinished business in his soul that, you know, he had pledged his eternal loyalty to Christ, and then but in the final analysis he denied Jesus three times as Jesus foretold he would, and he denied it to a teenage girl. The same man that stood up to the servant of the chief priest, or the high priest rather, Malchus, and swung his sword at him, but Malchus apparently dodged that sword and ended up cutting off his ear. You know, the same man with that kind of courage now had cowered to teenage girls. Wow, what a difference, huh? And I wonder what all the guilt and all the uncertainty going through his tormented soul felt like. Perhaps you're tormented this Easter. Perhaps you're saying, I don't know, for the first time in my life, I'm experiencing levels of uncertainty that I've never experienced. Church family, my friend, my brother, my sister, I want to encourage you that Jesus is alive. You know, and if Mary bringing news of his existence, of his resurrection, was not enough, Jesus himself made the appearance in the upper room. And the first thing he tells them is peace. Peace be with you. Isn't that beautiful? How about when Jesus enters into our isolation? Can we talk about isolation? Because these guys were there isolating. They had drawn within themselves. And you know, church family, it is very, I don't know how to say this, it can be a default mechanism within us that we default to, and that when something so horrible happens externally that we begin to isolate internally. You know, that's a real deal. Isolation. You know, before all this deal happened, did you know that 40% of the American populace felt isolated socially as it was before all this? Can you imagine what the statistics, I don't know exactly what they are now, but I can guarantee you they are much higher than 40% of the people feeling isolated. I was at the grocery store the other day, and somehow for a brief moment, just kind of walking around other people made me feel human for the first time in a while, because I thought, you know, this is the way it's supposed to be. We are a people created for community. We are a people created for connection with each other, but primarily with our Lord. We need to remain connected. How do we remain connected? Well, here's one primary way we remain connected. Okay, so if you're isolating, let me ask you this question. Are you allowing your heart, are you opening your heart to the risen Savior to come into the upper room of your soul and showing himself and manifesting himself to you and showing you his scars, his side, his hands? What does that mean? Well, he's showing you proofs that he is the living Lord. He's showing you evidence that he is alive and he is working behind the scenes. Is that the message you're getting during this time of stay at home and shelter in place? That's the message I'm getting loud and clear, that Jesus is alive and he is active in my life and he is also active in your life. Some of you might be asking, well, Joe, how can that be? Because I feel like nothing's happening. But that's just a feeling. That's just a temporary feeling, my friend. Jesus is working behind the scenes. I love that worship song that says, he is a way maker. I may not see him working, but he's still working. I may not feel him working, but he is still working. I love those lyrics. Jesus is active in your life. And you know, maybe he's using this message to bring some rays of hope, of spiritual hope. Because one thing about the resurrection is, because he is alive, there is hope for all of my tomorrows. Do you believe that? You know, Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11 says, you know, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. Do you believe that the risen Savior that is present with you today on Resurrection Sunday is also present in all of your tomorrows before you've ever experienced any one of them, before you walk into any one of them or wake up to any one of them? He is already there in your tomorrow. That is His promise to you. He's alive. He is full of power. He is full of love. He is full of peace. He is full of anointing. Man, I feel the power of God just flowing right now. Glory to God. He is full of love. And I pray this communicates to you right now, my friend. God loves you. He is showing Himself to you. He is manifesting His power. He is manifesting His resurrected presence in your life. He is comforting you. He is filling some of you with peace. And He's telling you, not unlike what He told the disciples in the upper room, peace I give to you. My peace, not as the world gives it, my peace I give to you. Amen. Go with me to Proverbs chapter 18, please. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 1. A man who isolates himself seeks his own desire. It says a man there, but easily could be applied to women as well, obviously. A man or a woman who isolates themselves seeks their own desire. They rage against all wise judgment. What is that saying there? That isolating is not the way to go. You know, just because we're isolated externally, we don't have to isolate internally. We don't have to go down to the dark cells of our souls and lick our wounds and feel sorry for ourselves and begin to entertain dark thoughts. Perhaps you're there. Are you experiencing darkness? Are you experiencing hopelessness? Are you experiencing anxieties at levels you've never experienced before? Are you experiencing depression? Is depression stealing your joy? You know, this risen Jesus wants to enter those cells. Even as He walked right through the walls, another gospel tells us, walk right through the physical material walls, right through them where the disciples were. You know, that gives us hope that no matter how much isolation you put between you and God, you and others, Jesus will walk right through your isolation barriers and reach your heart and reach you in your soul and shine the light of His love and fill you with His peace and draw you to Himself by His kindness and His gentleness and His goodness. Do you believe that? I believe that with all my heart. I believe He's a risen Savior. He is in the world today. And He's alive. And so it says here that that's not wise to isolate. You're defying sound wisdom. You're going against what God wants for you. But I'm here to tell you, just open your heart to the Savior. At the end of the narrative in John chapter 20, you know, Mary said, I have seen the Lord. You know, you might be hearing me say this, but then there's also another aspect. Maybe there's the aspect of doubt. And maybe you're sitting there processing this message and saying, well, I don't know. I don't want to get my hopes up too high. I'm already so downcast. I'm already so disappointed. I've already had my hopes lifted up only to have them dashed to pieces yet again. You might be thinking that. Maybe you might be entertaining doubt. Well, let's go back to John 20 and let me show you what Jesus went on to do. Because there was a doubting person among the disciples in that upper room. 24. But Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said to Him, we have seen the Lord. We have seen the Lord. But He said to them, unless I see His hands and the print of the nails and put my finger into the print of the nails and put my hand into His side, I will not believe. Verse 26, and after 8 days, his disciples were again inside and Thomas with them. Jesus came, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, peace to you. Wow. I love that every time that Jesus comes near us, comes close to us, what's his message? Peace. Not fear, not judgment, not torment, but peace. Peace I give to you. Verse 27, then he said to Thomas, reach your finger here. Look at my hands and reach your hand here and put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing. And Thomas answered and said to him, my Lord and my God. Wow. Are you seeing the Lord this Easter? I sure am. I see him. He loves me and he loves you. And if you're in isolation inwardly, listen, he's appearing before you. Are you opening your heart to him? Are you allowing him to fill you with hope for all of your tomorrows? And there is power in the present. He lives, my friend. This is the theme. We have seen the Lord. I pray this morning that you're encouraged, that you receive the encouragement of Scripture, no matter what you're going through. You know, I want to close with one more verse of Scripture, but before I get there, I want to just encourage you. No matter what your situation looks like, externally or internally, because of the externals, we've allowed internal turmoil to enter our souls. We've lost our peace. We've lost our joy. We've lost our sleep. Some of us are losing our sense of sound judgment, as Proverbs 18:1 says, because we've isolated so much. You know, it's very interesting to me, when we isolate, we lose sense of reality. We lose sense of what is right. We lose kind of common sense. We go into our pendulum begins to swing to the extremes, to one extreme or the other. But we don't have a middle of the road perspective. And maybe that's what's left you as well. Well, go with me to 2 Timothy chapter 4, our very last scripture that we'll look at this morning. The last recorded writing of Paul the Apostle. He's writing to Timothy, his son in the faith. And chapter 4 is the last chapter of this. And he's writing from prison. And he's kind of telling Timothy, he opens his heart, he opens his soul to Timothy. And he said, all these bad things happened to me, you know, and all this and that. And he's writing from prison. And so I want you to go with me to verse 16, please. Notice, at my first trial or defense, no one stood with me, but all forsook me. May it not be charged against them. Now, let me ask you a question. Have people forsaken you in your lives? Have you lost friendships throughout this deal? Have you lost your social network support? You know, nothing else. You can't meet with people. We're supposed to be socially distancing. And you don't have the support you once did. But have you lost connection with people that were once important in your life, that once supported you, that once believed in you, that once were your prayer people? Have you lost them? Paul lost everybody. That's hard for me to wrap my mind around, because Paul had a lot of ministry associates, a lot of ministry friends. And when he needed support the most, no one came to his support. But that's not where the story ends. Read the next verse with me. Notice verse 17, but the Lord stood with me and strengthened me so that the message might be preached fully through me and that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. I love that. Nobody might have stood with you. Nobody might have been there to support you. But the Lord, my friend, is standing with you now. The risen Lord is standing with you, and he's standing with you, and he's giving you strength. And I'm telling you, he is delivering you out of the mouth of the lion. Do you believe that? I believe that with all my heart. I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I want to leave you with these words. Jesus lives. Jesus comes to us in our isolation with peace, with strength, delivering us out of the mouth of lions. Are you open to that, my friend? Can you say with Mary, can you say with the disciples, we have seen the risen Lord? Let's pray. Holy Father, thank you for this time together, Lord. I pray that your people would be infused, Lord, literally with spiritual energy, and you would fill their souls with hope and joy, that you would penetrate the darkness of isolation, that you would be the lifter up of their heads, Lord Jesus, that you would love on them, that you would woo them to yourself, Lord, that you would infuse like steel in their souls, Lord, and strength. We give you all the glory, God, and thank you that our faith is alive and that, Jesus, you are a Savior worth trusting in for the rest of our lives. We thank you for all this in Jesus' name. Amen.